Ty Nichols was on his way home when he was fatally beaten by 5 cops during a traffic stop. Videos of the initial encounter captured by body cameras showed officers from the Memphis Police Department holding Nichols on the ground as they shouted commands at him, profanities, and threats of violence. The video showed Nichols calmly complying before attempting to flee on foot as officers deployed a taser at him. Graphic footage captured minutes later from a utility pole camera then showed officers punching, kicking, and tasering Nichols as they restrained him, striking him 9 times in just 4 minutes, even after he fell to the ground. Throughout the beating, Tyre could be heard pleading to go home and repeatedly calling out for his mum, who lived just steps away in the home they shared. He died from his injuries in hospital 3 days later. Okay. In November of 2019, Zachary Rolfe, Northern Territory cop, murdered Indigenous man Kumanjai Walker. After shooting him 3 times, he, with other armed officers, drove him to the police station in Yuendumu in the Northern Territory. The officers then locked themselves inside with him, turned out all the lights, and shut off all communications with the crowd gathering outside. In front of the darkened station, Walker's friends and relatives began to arrive, knowing that a young man they cared about was inside with the man who had just shot him. They weren't told until the next day that he was dead. Following the trial, a bunch of text messages of Rolfe's were released, showing him describing the Northern Territory as a Wild West and a shithole, but boasting that he could get away with anything there. He was cleared of all charges. So whether you're in the US or Australia, cops are brutal thugs who get away with assaulting and murdering workers, the poor and the oppressed. So when we say ACAB, we mean ACAB. But we want to talk about why that's the case. Why is it the case that cops can get away with such violence, and why do socialists oppose it? I think a place to start is understanding what the cops serve. So the cops are just one part of the capitalist state. And the state acts as a coercive institution in capitalism, one that is necessary for enforcing the class rule over one class over another. So in capitalism, that's the capitalist class, the leaders of industry, the politicians ruling over the working class, the majority. Now, there are plenty of lies about the state that exist, that it's an objective, neutral institution that is about maintaining democracy. But I think that couldn't be further from the truth. Under capitalism, we live in a dictatorship of capital, where the drive to profit and competition is what dictates every decision that's made. So the ruling class is a minority of the population, which presents a few problems for them. So they preserve their rule through a monopoly of violence. So that's through the police, the army, the courts, and the prisons. But there's another part of the state that's also involved in this, and it's like the soft power. So state and civil institutions, that's mainstream political parties, the media, major religious bodies, trade union bureaucracy. And the role these institutions play is ideologically blurring the class distinctions that define capitalism and winning the consent, or at least minimizing the opposition of the oppressed and exploited to their experience. Rather than saying outright, though, that the cops are for the maintenance of class rule, the ruling class claim that the police are the thin blue line protecting society from anarchy and mayhem. In reality, the cops make society much more dangerous, and what they do is protect the rich and their property. So the cops supposedly fight crime. But what is considered crime in capitalism? In capitalism, it's a crime to be poor. It's a crime to be black. It's a crime to protest. It's a crime to strike. And prisons in Australia reflect this. They are warehouses for the poor. So one half of those entering prison are unemployed. Two-thirds have no education beyond year 10. And 1 in 4 were homeless or in insecure accommodation in the 4 weeks before they entered jail. Indigenous people in Australia are massively more likely to be incarcerated, making up 2% of the adult population, but 28% of the adult prison population. 9% of Indigenous people and 15% of Indigenous men aged over 15 have been to prison at some point in their lives, while just 5% have a university degree, which means you're more likely to go to jail than get a tertiary education if you're Indigenous in this country. Okay. For Indigenous youth, so aged between 10 and 17, the situation is still worse. They are 18 times more likely to be in detention than non-Indigenous youth and represent one half of those in the juvenile justice system. So that's what's a crime in capitalism, being poor. So stealing, loitering, sleeping rough, that's a crime. What's not a crime in capitalism is things like going to war, you know, killing tens of thousands of people, or how about the $1.35 billion in wages that are stolen annually in Australia alone? What about Gina Rinehart? Why isn't she locked up for destroying the planet and stealing Indigenous land? Or all the ALP and LNP politicians who've locked up refugees in concentration camps for 8 years. None of these are crimes under capitalism. And the result is, because of the soft power institutions in capitalism, is that the reality of crime versus people's perceptions of it is out of kilter. So people are afraid to walk the streets at night, but are happy to get in their car and drive down a highway. And these beliefs don't emerge out of thin air, despite the fact that you're far more likely to die on the road than you are to get murdered by a random. They're the product of systematic disinformation campaigns led by the media, working closely with police associations and governments. What they want to do is exaggerate the extent of crime and threat to property while downplaying or completely burying the crimes of big businesses, the police and politicians. And they do this to cultivate an environment where increased state repression is seen more legitimate. And the situation is a political one. The Australian Labor Party, I think you have to talk, when you're talking about crime and justice in this country, you have to talk about the Labor Party, because they are constantly falling over themselves to prove that they can be just as tough on crime as the Liberals are. So at the beginning of this year, Queensland Labor introduced a slew of new criminal penalties, including increasing the maximum penalty for car theft from 7 years to 10 years in jail. And if the offence is committed at night, or if the perpetrator threatens to damage property or damages property, 14 years in jail. They amended the Youth Justice Act to require courts to take into account previous bail history, criminal activity and track record when sentencing. And the bail laws they put in for children who can be as young as 10 to be locked up in this state had to overrun their own human rights legislation. They also implemented a $9.89 million fast-tracking sentencing program and the construction of two new youth detention centres. In the last year, the Queensland Police shot more people than the police in the rest of Australia combined. They shot 14 people. And the effect of this is obvious. Firstly, that the cops feel emboldened to deal out indiscriminate violence. Like, and of course they feel emboldened. Just in the past week, they've announced new high-powered tasers being introduced to the Queensland Police Force, which can shoot out over 10 metres with like 13 different barbs. And they've just introduced 100 of these into the hands of the Queensland Police. And the effect of this, of Queensland Labor whipping up violence and racism, it creates an atmosphere where One Nation and fascists can basically do lynch mobs against Indigenous people in Northern Territory. And that's exactly what happened earlier this year. In Rockhampton, 30 racists showed up to the house of two Indigenous kids who they asserted committed a crime, banging on the doors and windows. What was the response of Queensland Labor to this? They said, we want to meet with the fascists who organised this protest to discuss these legitimate concerns. So no wonder these racists feel emboldened. It's a shame. So given all of this, I think, and especially since the Black Lives Matter protest that shook the world a few years ago, it's easy to see there's something wrong with how the cops run. But what the solution is can vary. Do we abolish the police? Do we defund the police? Or do we retrain the police? I think a pretty common argument is that there are the argument that there's a few bad apples in the force, that yes, there's a problem. There's a few trigger happy cops. And you know, that maybe it's, yeah, something to do with culture, but this could never solve the problem with the police, because the anti-democratic, anti-poor, racist, sexist, anti-left behavior and actions that the police commit is them doing their job. So viewing it down to being about personality types or a cultural problem is an inadequate explanation, because the police are structurally bad. And so any reform to the police as an institution will be totally inadequate. And tinkering around the edges or making the police seem more progressive actually already happens. And it can happen because it does not challenge what the role of the police is. So most police departments in the US and here in Australia already have mandatory diversity training and training marketed to draw out implicit bias in the force. And I want to give you a few examples just to show how bullshit these reforms are. So going to the US, in 2014, Minneapolis was one of six US cities chosen for a Justice Department program aimed to rebuild trust between communities of color and the police. So it included official reforms in the use of force policy and 24 hours of procedural justice and implicit bias training for every officer in the department. One of the officers who had this training was Derek Chauvin. And in 2020, Derek Chauvin leant on the neck of a black man, George Floyd, for 8 minutes, killing him as he repeatedly yelled, "I can't breathe." So a Black Lives Matter activist from Minneapolis reflected something that I think is very true. She said, currently we have a black police chief in Minneapolis. Before that, we had an Indigenous woman who was queer as a police chief. They've tried all the identity pieces. They've had all the implicit bias training possible, and yet they can still continue to murder black people indiscriminately. Investigations and inquiry into the police force will spend millions of dollars to tell us what we already know. This is true in Australia too. The Queensland Police, the scumbags that they are, have liaison officers and they send out cultural awareness surveys. And yet in the past decade, the prison population in Queensland has grown nearly 70%. And Queensland locks up more Indigenous children than any other Australian state, and with 62% of the youth detainees being Indigenous in Australia, in Queensland. A recent report revealed what probably won't shock people who are left-wing, that the Queensland Police members widely expressed misogynistic, racist, and far-right attitudes. It revealed that many cops believe that women commonly fabricate domestic violence accusations out of jealousy or revenge against male partners, or invent accusations of rape as an alternative to launching child custody cases in the family court. Now, the response of Queensland Police Union was to call the report woke, and for women's organisations, the domestic violence industry. Now, this is all happening under Queensland's first female police commissioner. And she said that is a cultural problem that they need to address, but it's not a cultural problem. This is what the cops are doing, exactly what they're designed for. They're not about protecting ordinary people. Another example, when killer cop Zachary Rolfe was charged in 2019 with the murder of Kumanjai Walker, the chief executive of the Police Federation said it was absolutely shocking for police officers around the country to see someone out there doing their job, protecting the community, get charged with murder. And, you know, he's kind of right. That is the cops doing their job, but it's absolutely disgraceful. And other cops closed ranks behind them, and they nominated Zachary Rolfe for a Police Officer of the Year award after he killed Kumanjai Walker. The courts then followed suit, and they found him not guilty of all charges. So not guilty of murder, not guilty of manslaughter, and not guilty of engaging in a violent act causing death. A very common statistic that people point to, which I think shows how, yeah, inquiries and investigations do nothing, is that since the 1990 Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, over 500 Indigenous people have been killed at the hands of the police, and not a single cop has been charged with anything or faced any justice. So I think clearly it's not a couple of bad apples. The institution of the cops, which exists in every country in the world to serve the same purpose, is totally rotted to its foundation. There are some more left-wing sounding arguments, an idea that we should replace cops with social workers or community policing. But I think the response to this is quite simple. It implies that the police are good in theory, but bad in practice. But the cops aren't about helping people, as I said. Like, when the cops are violent, they're doing their job. And the police will always be hostile against oppression and exploitation, and hostile to people who are poor. These are images from youth detention facilities in Australia, which the state governments refused to allow the UN torture prevention body from entering. So the cops, their role is to punish people and actually torture children for committing crimes. So apparently it's justified to strap children to chairs for 12 hours a day because they stole a car. Bit of idea of the diversity. Now, yeah, the police will be hostile to any mass uprising, mass strike, or revolution as well, because the cops are on the side of the ruling class and they're just as committed at putting people back in their place and maintaining the system. So movements that really shake the system will face the most extreme repression from the cops. So tear gas, rubber bullets, a water cannon, or live ammunition. In France earlier this year, millions of workers were striking and rallying against pension reforms. On one day in early May, 13,000 cops were deployed to Paris alone. Now, what are the cops defending in this situation? They're defending an undemocratic attack on the working class and their living standards. When massive strikes were started in strategic sectors such as the oil industry, the Macron government sent riot police to go and bash people on picket lines and requisition the workers, which looked like going to the houses of oil workers in the middle of the night and forcing them back on the job. So that's what the cops defend. Yeah. And you can look to any uprising in recent times or ever. The uprising in Hong Kong in 2019, Black Lives Matter, even protests like the ones in the Foxconn factory in China last year. The cops are on the opposite side from democracy. They're on the opposite side of justice. And what they defend is an unequal status quo. So I think then socialists must totally oppose the cops. The only solution to police violence is mass movements, mass protests, and fighting to abolish capitalism. Mass uprisings can challenge the violence of the police, but importantly, it's what we're fighting for in the end. A society run by and for workers would not need cops because it wouldn't be based on minority rule. It would be a society about real democracy, not the suppression of the majority, a society built on labour collectively controlling production. Secondly, because people would behave totally differently if our human needs were just guaranteed. Most of what is understood as crime would be abolished, and the material basis of antisocial behaviour would be reduced. Finally, socialists don't believe that people are just inherently bad and need to be repressed in order for society to function. And this comes down to your perspective about what drives and serves humanity. We want to fight for this world, but to win, we're going to need to fight for the overthrow of capitalism and all of its brutal institutions.